It's good to see all of you this morning. I have a few things. You can go ahead and open your Bibles to John chapter 10, where we'll be this morning. But I have a few things we want to go over before we get into the message. Kind of do a few updates on some things. And also give you a plan for the rest of the service today, as it's going to be a little different than normal. Bruce, go ahead and give us a little update on what's going on with you and Jules. All right. Okay, good deal. Moving up to Virginia, so just wanted y'all to hear from them a little bit. Because they're back home for the holidays. It's good to see y'all. Good to have you here. Good to have Tiffany here as well. I think she's heading out pretty soon to head back over to Atlanta. Probably have some college students in town as well. Josh is here from Auburn, so it's good to have him. Jana's in town, be heading back. All these folks will be heading back after the first of the year, I suppose, but if not sooner. So it's good to have church family back who's gone off and then visiting. Wanted to remind you again about the free books there, God is the Gospel by John Piper. I'd like for every family at least to have one. If there needs to be more than that per family, then please go ahead and avail yourself to that. The reason for the schedule going through January, first Sunday of next week, as we're going to do this schedule through then, is just continuing, I guess, with the holidays falling right there in the middle of the week, giving a little bit of extra time to recover from the holidays. It feels like we ought to be done with them already. Does anybody feel that way? But we still got New Year's to go through. You feel that way, Lisa? Like, I'm like, yeah, that's kind of the way I feel. It's like, this should be over with by now, but we've got another week of it to go. But we'll enjoy that. I really encourage you to enjoy it as much as you can. It may be a difficult time or stressful time for you for whatever reason. But try to enjoy these holidays, because what we really want to do is get refreshed during this time as much as we can, and then go into the new year with zeal for the work of the ministry. All right, so take this time, because it'll go by fast, and then let's go into the new year, really beginning January the 12th with the small group starting back up. Go into that with zeal. I really appreciate our small group teachers and all that they sacrifice to teach those classes. And, want to make sure they have plenty of time and then can really be looking forward to the 12th and getting started there with that. You know, we're all in this for the long haul, folks, okay? All right, we're in it for the long haul. So, you know, having some little times of refreshment is good, because we want to, you know, when I came here, I wanted a goal of being here for at least 30 years. And June will be my 15-year anniversary, so I'm halfway there. So I still got halfway to go to reach that goal. I want to be here for the long haul. I want to continue to encourage you all to make sure that you greet visitors when we have folks come into the church. That's very important for us as a congregation to be looking around. We want to make sure that we break the holy huddles. All right, we can get in our holy huddles and forget about folks that are around us, and nothing grieves me. Well, there's things that grieve me more, but it grieves me to see folks come in and sit down and no one speaks to them. And we're typically a pretty friendly church, but there are times, even at special events, where maybe we get focused and forget to greet folks. But we want to make sure that we're warm and looking out to those who are around us. Even our youth and our children, if somebody comes in who's your age, go and talk to them, okay? Be welcoming. Here's a good rule of thumb for a lot of things in life. It's not original with me, but it's for greeting one another when they are greeting folks when they come to the church, is do unto others as you would have them do unto you, okay? If you would like for folks to come and warmly greet you, if you were visiting somewhere, no matter what age you are, then you go and do that to them as well, okay? So as you would have men do to you, do you also to them. The golden rules, Jesus said that. So we go and treat others the way we want to be treated when it comes to that. Arrive early to church, and you guys did a pretty good job of that today, so thank you, but let's make that a pattern going into the new year, getting here early, making sure that we are ready to worship the Lord and be in our place and and able to greet one another. Now, as you know, we have some Bible reading plans back there. Just want to emphasize that one more time. We have about three or four different plans. You can look at them. They're back there on the wooden table. One is has a reading going straight through the Bible, so it's a couple pages. It has a staple in it back there. It's the one that just kind of takes you straight through the Bible. It's a little bit larger print, able to see that. Another one takes you through different genres of the Scripture, reading different places instead of just reading straight through the Bible, but it takes you through the whole Bible in a year. The third option that we have back there is a 31-day encounter with Jesus. 31-day encounter with Jesus, and what this will do is take you through the 31 days in a row where you are reading different passages in the Bible pertaining to the life of Jesus Christ. Now, I have a special invitation. Adults, this isn't for you. I'm speaking only to the kids right now, so you adults can stop listening for the time being. Just don't talk to your neighbors around you. That would be rude. All right, so for our kids back there in the back, I've taken that 31-day encounter with Jesus, and I've kind of spread it out a little bit, put it on front and back of this sheet. So what you can do is take that and fold it like this, and you can stick it in your Bible. And I've even put a place there for you to write your name in. That way, if you leave it somewhere, someone will know that that's yours, and they can give it to you. My kids never do things like that. I just figured that your kids might have some problems with it. But anyways, like this starts in Isaiah 53. Jesus is predicted. And what you do is read Isaiah 53 on the first day of January. Okay? And now I've given some lines underneath each of these because it would be ideal that we read through it and then maybe just take a couple minutes just to think about it a little bit. What did I just read? And then after you've thought about it, you can just maybe write down, hey, I learned this. I learned that Jesus suffered because of my sins. Something like that, you know, or Jesus is the Lamb who was slain. All right, so you can just write a little something down there. And here's what I challenge all of our kids to do. So if you take this and you read the passage, we're going to read every single day for 31 days. I want you guys to do this with me. I'm inviting you to do this with me for the first 31 days for the month of January. And we're going to read it, think about it a little bit, what it means. And then we're going to get on our knees and pray. So at home, you just get down on your knees and just pray for however long, okay? And let's make that a kind of a habit here the first 31 days. And what we would hope is after 31 days of doing that in a row, not missing one single day, after 31 days, then as we go into February, we've started a little bit of a routine and a habit. And that continues over through the rest of the year, okay? So I'm inviting all of our kids to do that. There are these handouts on the back, a welcome table. Also have some up here that I'm actually going to lay down there on the chair, on this chair right here. So there's some up front. You can come up and grab one of those if you would like to do that. I invite you to do so. It'd be a good exercise for us. And we just might grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ through that. All right. I think that's most of kind of the things that I wanted to catch up with. Here's what we're going to do for the rest of the service. I'm just going to be preaching for about 15 minutes from the Gospel of John, taking us through the first five verses of chapter 11. And then, I think I asked y'all to turn to chapter 10 a while ago. It's actually chapter 11. And then after that, we're going to transition into our ordination time for our new deacon who's coming on this year. And we have five guys who are going to be serving. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But that's the plan right now. And then at the very end, we're going to do something that's going to be challenging for all of us. We've done it before, but we're going to try it again this morning. We're all going to move out of our seats and circle up around the auditorium holding hands. And then we will sing the doxology together as we dismiss. And then Dwayne and his family will be up here in the front. And y'all can come by and greet them, welcome them. Okay? All right, so let's go ahead and open our Bibles to John 11. Verses 1 through 5. Again, I'm just going to share with you for a few minutes here from this passage this morning. John 11, 1 through 5. If you all would please stand to your feet at the reading of God's Word, I'll read this aloud for us. All right, the Bible reads, and I'm reading from the New King James Version this morning, John chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. You may be seated. I'm going to pray for us here in just a second. Before I do that, I need to ask you to be praying for someone in particular. My second cousin, Mitch Bryant Mitchell, is in Huntsville Hospital in a critical condition over there as he had a sickness beginning last Thursday, and it continued on for several days, and then he ended up passing out in the shower and hitting his head. But his organs are severely damaged by the sickness that he went through. His lungs and kidneys have both pretty well shut down. His brain activity is there's not much there right now. They've actually taken him and cooled his body down, and I don't understand how all that works, but they cooled his body down to a very low temperature in order to keep his organs from trying to function much. And now they began last night at 10 o'clock to try to warm his body back up, hoping that his organs, his brain activity will kind of reset and begin as it should. So he's in real serious condition. So if you would take a moment to pray for Mitch Bryant this morning as I pray aloud. Will you join me in prayer? Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you today. Lord, we're just so grateful for your blessings upon us. Lord, grateful that we can gather this morning as a church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, that we have a high priest in heaven who has gone through the heavens, Jesus Christ the righteous. Father, we are grateful today that Jesus came and He was manifested to take away our sins. He was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And God, we thank you that Jesus has successfully accomplished all that you, the Father, commanded Him to do. And it is in Christ that we hope, and it is in Christ that we know that we have eternal life, who is God, the one who became flesh and dwelt among us. Father, today it's in His name that I pray for Mitch Bryant. Lord, as his body warms back up now, Lord, continues to do so. I don't understand how all that works, but Lord, we would pray and ask you to be merciful to Mitch Bryant and the family. And Lord, please bring healing and restoration to his body. And Lord, we thank you that sometimes you give sickness and it is for your glory. And we pray that this would turn out for that purpose as well. We pray these things now in Jesus' name, asking your blessing upon the preaching of your word. In Christ's name, amen. John chapter 11, I want to just really kind of introduce to you some dear friends of Jesus here in chapter 11. We've seen there in verse 1 that John begins to talk about some folks who live in Bethany. Now, note that chapter 11 is very climactic in the Gospel of John. We have reached here a point of climax to where Jesus is now, after this, going to be going to the cross. Chapter 12 solidifies that as the Gentiles will come to Him or the Greeks will come to Him to have an interview with Him. And then it's after that time that Jesus is headed for the cross. In chapter 11, we find the seventh of the seven signs that are done in the Gospel of John. Remember, John listed seven so that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing we would have life in His name. We see that in John chapter 20, verse 31. All right, so how many signs are there in the Gospel of John? Seven, and that's not counting the resurrection of Jesus. All right, so we come here to chapter 11, and he says, "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha." So I begin to share with you or to introduce to you the names of these dear friends of Jesus. This is the first time that we've seen these listed in the Gospel of John. Lazarus, the name Lazarus is found in Luke chapter 16. However, most folks think that it's not the same Lazarus that is spoken of here in chapter 11 of John. But Lazarus has two sisters. We have Mary and her sister Martha. They are mentioned elsewhere in the Gospels, the first time here in the Gospel of John. The other place you would find them listed is in Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. There Jesus was in their house, and you probably remember the story, how it went. Martha was that busybody. She was working, make sure everything was in order, that all the guests had everything that they needed, that all the food was prepared, everyone's cups were filled with drink, and no one was in need of anything. And Mary was just sitting there at the feet of Jesus. You ever felt that way, that if you were one of those busybodies, you're one of those Marthas, you're just doing, and then there's somebody who's just sitting there talking, and you're like, why don't they get up and help and do something? It would make my job so much easier. And Martha addressed Jesus and said, "Lord, shouldn't she be, Lord, shouldn't she be doing something, helping out?" And Jesus says she's choosing the better thing rather than the service that Martha was doing. So that's kind of summarizing that passage. But they have, Jesus came to this place, to Bethany, and dwelt here with these dear friends at various times throughout His ministry. So we see the closeness there. In verse 2, it continues and it says, "And it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick." So John's kind of writing this retrospectively because that actually happens in chapter 12, the next chapter that we'll come to, where Mary anointed the Lord with fragrant oil. This is something that folks knew about. And so John here just refers to it because he wants to make sure you know which Mary he's talking about. Read the Gospels, there are several Marys in the Gospels, and this is the Mary that he's speaking of. It was Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, and she is the one who anointed Jesus' feet with fragrant oil, wiped His feet with her hair. And it was her brother who was sick. Now we see in verse 3 that the sisters sent to Him saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." So we've seen their names, we've seen their town. It's Bethany, and it would have been just a couple of miles outside of Jerusalem. And now we see their message. Their message that they send to Jesus is this: "Behold, he whom you love is sick." This is pretty significant because John is the other person in this gospel who kind of calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. He's not talking about himself here being sick, but he's talking about Lazarus being sick. He's talking about the love that Jesus Christ had for this man, Lazarus, and the sisters write to him or send a messenger to him and say to him that he's sick. I really think about this, how quickly our bodies can be overcome by sickness. Mitch Bryant is an illustration of that. Just last Thursday, he got sick, and now he's in extremely critical condition. All right, the family is just praying for God to do a miracle. It's amazing how, just kind of as a second cousin, I can a little bit relate here to Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus, who they loved obviously dearly. He's sick and at maybe a point of death, and they're concerned about him, so they send to Jesus and say, "Man, Lord, he's sick. He whom you love is sick." And so how quickly sickness can overcome our bodies, and we can even be at a point of death. Now look at verse 4. We've seen their message, but now let's see their response, or the response that they received in verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." You know, when we hear that a lot of times reading through this passage, we think that Jesus just said that, and the folks around heard. But who just came to him? The messengers from Mary and Martha. So what message would they have taken back to Mary and Martha? Well, okay, we went and told him. Here's what he said. He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." You can maybe put yourself in their shoes and try to understand how they would have received that. But Jesus actually brought this back up to Martha, as we'll see in next week, hopefully, in verse 40, if you'll look over there. When Jesus is commanding Martha to tell him to roll the stone away from the grave, it says in verse 40, Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" So this sickness was for that purpose, the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified through it. And we'll find out that Lazarus did not just come to the point of death, but Lazarus actually died. And that grieving, the struggle, the pain, all that he went through, that the family went through, was for a greater purpose than anything that they could see. It was that Jesus Christ might be glorified. I want to ask you to turn back to John chapter 9. John chapter 9 very quickly. Because these are good things that help us as Christians, as Bible-believing Christians, to interpret that which occurs or happens to us and that which happens to our friends, our family, and in the world. In John chapter 9, there was the man who was born blind. We know that Jesus had healed him, or that he did heal him. But in verse 2, his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" All right, so they obviously thought the reason this had occurred was because of sin. In verse 3, Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Now, hold on to that, because Jesus, we're going to talk about it next week. We'll bring this something very similar back up. But in verse 3, what was the purpose for the man's blindness? Born blind, suffering all that he endured all those years, and the folks, his family endured because of his blindness. What was the purpose of it? All right, the glory of God. What does that verse 3 say particularly? All right, that the works of God should be displayed through him. The works of God. So chapter 11, we find here that Jesus in verse 4, when they talk about, when they come to him asking him to, you know, or informing him that the Lazarus is sick, he says, "Hey, this sickness is not unto death, but it is for the glory of God." All right, so first of all, when we see sickness, when we suffer sickness in our lives, could it be because of sin? Yes, it could be because of sin. We see that in Scripture, that people even died because of their sin. Okay, so we will not put that to the side and say that's not an option. That is absolutely an option. But we also see two other purposes or reasons for sickness or suffering in the Gospel of John. And those are, number one, in chapter 9, that the works of God should be seen through it, should be displayed through that. So when you suffer, you might want to ask yourself, how will God work through my suffering to display who He is? Number two is in chapter 11, the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified through it. When you suffer, or someone suffers around you, we should ask ourselves the question, could it be that God, through my suffering or through this other person's suffering, is going to display His glory through Jesus Christ in that person's life or in my life? Okay? See how that helps shape our theology and the way that we interpret life around us and even suffering in this world? That's one of the greatest questions people have, is to explain suffering. How can all this suffering happen? What's the meaning and the purpose of it? We can go to our Bibles and we can see here how it was used. Last thing is their friend. We've seen their names, their town, their message, their response that they received, and now let's just see their friend. In verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. This is their friend, their dear friend, Jesus. And they were his dear friends. Jesus loved these folks. I hope that means something to you today. That the God-man Jesus Christ loves people. God the Father loves people. And it was that love that propelled God to send His Son to die for our sins. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who what? Loved me and gave Himself for me. All right, so this morning, don't think that you're all that much different than Lazarus and Mary and Martha. Because if you are a follower of Jesus, then Jesus says, then you're a friend of mine. And Jesus loves His friends. You know how I know that? Because the Bible says, no greater love has any man than this, than that he would lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do whatsoever I've commanded you. Do you today believe the gospel? If you do, I tell you, then you are a friend of Jesus. And you are one that is loved by Him. The hymn came to mind, Jesus loves me. And it goes like this, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Jesus loves me, this I know, as He loved so long ago. Taking children on His knees, saying, let them come to me. Jesus loves me. He will stay close beside me on my way. He prepared a home for me, and someday His face I'll see. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.